Welcome to Take 10, OMCP's podcast where we spend 10 minutes, more or less, talking to online marketing thought leaders, educators, and career professionals about training and certification with hosts Jane Flint and David Temple.
I'm here at PubCon with the CEO of Back Asthma, Bill Hunt, on the convention floor here. Bill, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As you said, I'm Bill Hunt, and I run a company called Back Asthma Consulting. Our primary focus is really three tracks. One, we build some tools to mine keyword data to really help you understand the voice of the consumer. Second, I work with large companies to build centers of excellence and in how to scale their global search programs. And third is an offshoot of that, is really helping companies understand how to effectively leverage search and more broader digital marketing across multiple markets.
Wow, that sounds interesting, Bill. And you were probably the first person to really understand online marketing at a global scale. What was the impetus for that?
Well, it was, you know, two things. I think the first time I realized that people needed to market differently was when I was actually living in Japan. And an engineer from Ford was helping out Mazda and said, you know, I can't believe these Japanese people have to have a car with a steering wheel on the left-hand side and this and this and this. And then my response to them at the time was a somewhat drunk Marine, was simply, why wouldn't they? It's their country. And from that day on, I had this interest of how do we market to different markets. It culminated when I had my own company in Los Angeles selling earthquake kits and disaster preparedness. And Japan was the first market, and we actually used the web. And I moved from an online retailer, if you will, to a digital marketing consultant, because after the Kobe earthquake, we had sold quite a bit of product. And all these big companies, Western Digital, HP, et cetera, were coming to us saying, how do we use this thing called the internet to target primarily Japan? Then after Japan, they wanted Spanish-speaking markets. And so more and more, I started trying to figure out how we could actually use the internet. My business school thesis was actually using the internet to reach overseas markets. And this was in, you know, 1994, 1995, before we had, you know, any mainstream search engines, before we even had browsers in many cases. So that's where it came from. And it just kept growing and growing and growing, and finding that, you know, it's a big world out there, and you're basically one query away from targeting someone internationally. And so the better you prepare yourself for that, the more successful you can be.
One way I learned about search engine marketing was I didn't just read your book, I studied it. In fact, I remember the Goldilocks reference that you don't want your keywords to be too hot and too cold, even all these years later. How did you start educating yourself about search engine marketing, online marketing in those early days?
It's the same thing I tell anybody else, just go start trying it. You know, we're fortunate now when we have all kinds of books and podcasts and, you know, great places to go for information. But when I was starting out, there was none of that. And it was all sort of trial and error. And now what I, even today, I would prefer, I might get an insight from someone. I might go to a course. Conferences are a big inspiration where I'll hear something. And then what I want to do is apply it. And I think that that's one thing that is not encouraged enough, is applying ideas. And secondly, I think one thing I see a lot is people maybe they're afraid, they're not sure how to start, and I just think do it. I mean, that was my education. Make a lot of mistakes, hopefully that they're not too costly of mistakes. But yeah, try it, figure out what works, and then either replicate it or abandon it if it doesn't work.
Great advice, Bill. So in all this training and the way we get educated about online marketing, what do you think about online marketing certification as a whole?
I think it's great. I think as you're starting out, it's a great symbol for someone that you've actually had some sort of proper training. It gives somebody something they can hang on to. You know, unfortunately, they're sort of a dime a dozen out there. There's a lot of people that come up with their own certification. I think bodies that can have some rigor behind it. I know when I was previously on the board of directors of Sempo, we tried to get this in place, but nobody could agree on the standards. And what's nice about having the work that you guys do is it helps normalize some of those things. It tells people, it vets out what is sort of the true. I mean, back in the early days when you were reviewing you know, training certifications and programs and things like that. You know, it was a place that we could go to where somebody at least took the time to compare them. Again, as a new person, if you're straight out of school or just migrating into a career, it is some sort of benchmark that says you have a base level of knowledge. And I know a lot of paid search companies won't hire you unless you have a Google certification. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you've taken, you know, the intensive courses from, say, a Market Motive or someplace like that. You know, that has credibility, and those type of things would actually motivate an employer to take somebody that may not have a lot of experience.
Good points. As you know, the Organization of Online Marketing Certified Professionals is setting standards for training and education in online marketing for academic institutions like Duke and Rutgers and training centers like New Horizons and Simply Learn, to name a few. As an online marketing thought leader, what is important to you that we do at OMCP?
I think you're going to provide a valuable service to people because you don't sell these things. You know, you yourself are not necessarily doing the training, you know, as if you were an agency. An agency doing a training is always going to be skewed to their approach and their biases. Number one thing I think we need is just some sort of oversight on what is what. And it sort of sounds odd, but that struggle we had at Simpo, we had 8-9 people all doing peer-reviewed training, and nobody could agree. You know, there's 5 peers that are literally your peers, the best in the business, couldn't agree on some even common language. And I think having a neutral body helps sort common language and definitions, and more importantly, you know, making that clear distinction is like, what is a valid process? I think the second thing is working with those prestigious universities and programs. They're going to back force, if you will, a level of rigor and quality, you know, through their programs, because they don't want to put their name on something that's not quality. But I think, you know, timeliness, you know, helping people understand the frequency that they have to update things. Careers are made and lost on this type of information. You know, company profits are made and lost on the information people learn from these trainings. So I do think there's a lot of responsibility on whomever does it to produce it in a way that it does satisfy both of those. It is profitable to a company that hires a person that has that level of knowledge as well as advances the careers of the people. And I think a neutral body like what you represent can actually help facilitate that pretty easily.
Thanks for that. And then one final thing here, Bill, you're heading off to a book signing here. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't just read your book, I actually studied it, and I give that a lot of credit to what I learned and how I was able to apply those things. Like you said, you have to actually do it and don't just read about it. Tell me about that book. In fact, I remember there's a Chinese version of that book too, which, and the success and the kind of response you've gotten from that book.
It's been pretty humbling, you know, especially, you know, hearing from you on how it sort of helped your career. That's been one of the humbling yet scary things, is a number of people that come up to me and say, you know, I have the job that I have today because I read your book cover to cover. The book actually, interesting, came out of an interesting scenario with Mike Moran, the co-author, and I. We were both at IBM, and I had written a pretty substantial how-to manual for IBM. It was all catered to different roles, which is different than a lot of people's books. They don't tailor things based on roles or how to scale. And thinking about it from the big picture is a lot of quick tactics. The second thing was that Mike was going for a distinguished engineer, and one of the things that he could do to help him get that prestigious rating was actually write a book. And so we had source material, we had our own sort of throes of doing it at IBM, and that's what put the book out. And every single person that I've met that's read it, you know, has said that it, because it was different, it was written in a way that you can actually apply it. You know, has said have used it. Even this morning, someone stopped me in the hallway and said they were going to come get the third edition signed. So we're now in the third edition. You know, as I mentioned earlier, trying to update it. So in between every edition, there's printings. And so every time it's newly printed, we try to go in and update data, you know, facts and numbers and anything that's changed. And you know, we hope that it can continue to help people figure out ways that they can leverage this when they're in business.
Well, thanks a lot for your time today, Bill. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much.